So I'm going to change things up a little because everybody else has talked more about Library 2.0 and libraries and how Library 2.0 is going to affect the services that we provide for our patrons. What I'm going to talk about is more, how are these kinds of things changing the way in which we do professional development? And there are several trends that are pushing changes in professional development. The first is there's a rise in online education. Online education has been around for quite some time, but it's really, really starting, it really, really has hit its stride now. Many, many people are taking courses, whole master's degrees online, and a lot of even face-to-face classes have an online component today, and they're offered in what's called a hybrid model. Another thing that's really pushing these changes are there are more tools for collaborating and communicating over distance. I was really fortunate that Elisa did such a great job of hitting almost all the tools I'm going to talk about, so I don't have to spend a lot of time explaining the tools, and I can talk more about what does this mean in terms of how professional development happens. Another thing that I think is pushing changes in professional development is the pace of change in technology. If librarians need more and more technical skills, and technology is changing at a tremendously rapid rate, the way in which we need to acquire those skills needs to change. This is particularly true when you talk about traditional publishing. You know, if you're doing professional development by looking at journals, the peer review process can take a very long time. I had an article that took 18 months or more to get published, and by the time the article was published, I was at a completely different institution before I'd done the research. That really affects the way in which you want to do professional development. ALA's planning cycle really, really is messed up when it comes to this. And if you read my blog, I've railed and railed and railed about this since I've become involved in ALA. ALA plans 2+ years out their conferences. This doesn't let you have cutting-edge programming on technology at your conference. It's a real problem. We also are seeing a change in learning styles and the pattern, learning patterns of workers. How people learn, how they want to learn is really changing. Gen Y people have different expectations about how they're going to learn than Gen Xers or baby boomers. And to make the learning effective, we have to change the way in which we present instruction or professional development to them. We have increased expectations of our users. And what I mean by that is our library user populace has a tremendous amount of expectations about the things we are going to know. More often than not, when I worked at the reference desk at my previous job, half of my questions were involving Microsoft Office. How do I make a PowerPoint? How do I print things this way instead of this way? How do I make columns? How do I do math in Excel? You know, luckily I'm a techie, so I could kind of help them with that. But users have incredible expectations today. How do you email something to yourself? You know, they want so much more from us. And then the last thing is this growing importance of professional networks. In librarianship now, it's my feeling who you know and who you can ask a question of and draw upon to solve a problem really is where it's at. It doesn't matter whether or not you can solve the problem yourself. It's does somebody in your social network have the ability or knowledge to solve the problem, or does somebody they know? So the bigger your social network is, the more access you're going to have to answer questions. So the first thing I want to talk about is this whole idea of new tools for learning via the internet. I've got a bunch of different things up on the screen, a lot of which Elisa talked about. You've got things like, this is Google Docs, which now has a presentation function in it. I could have done this presentation in Google Docs and made it available to everybody via the web, and you guys could be in there and chatting with me about the presentation right now. It's really cool. Lisa talked about Blip TV. This is a place that hosts video on the web. You've got things like iTunes U, where you can post podcasts related to courses. IM, for me, is like professional development most important professional development tool I use on a daily basis. Because if I want somebody to test something from off campus, and I'm on campus, and I have no way to simulate that, typically I am right on my, one of my buddies here, and I say, hey, can you hit such and such server? What's going on? What are you seeing from off campus? Audacity is a nifty tool for creating podcasts. DimDim is in beta, and you can't get an account yet, but you should definitely sign up to get one when they are releasing accounts, because it is a online meeting tool. And it's open source, meaning you can download the software and install it and use it now, but if you want to use their sort of service, as in they're hosting it on the, on a server, they're still waiting and they're collecting names, but I know they're going to send me an email any day now. And probably the niftiest thing here is the Online Programming for All Libraries, OPAL, which is a group that provides a medium by which libraries can provide programming on the web. And they're starting a series that's called Casual Conversations. The first one, I think, is today, and it's Aaron Schmidt. But they're going to be offering basically a way for people, they offer basically presentations. You can come into an open room, an OPAL room, and see basically what I'm doing in front of you face to face. You can see something like this on the web. And it's a really, really fabulous resource and tool. And definitely worth checking out. And their website always has what they have going on. Another piece of things that is changing is there's new spaces for interactions. Elisa pointed out Second Life. That's what this screenshot is from. The Alliance libraries are doing programming in Second Life, so are other libraries. I actually went to a library presentation where there was a face-to-face presentation, and at the same time they were in World and Second Life giving the same presentation. That was really interesting. OPAL Top Shoe is used by this really, really fun podcast / radio show, talk show, done by Greg Schwartz. And it's called Uncontrolled Vocabulary. And once a week, he has people, he has like basically a radio show except for on the web, and he has people call in and they talk about different things and they interact. And the technology he's using is TalkShoe. I mentioned DimDim before, and then Zoho Meeting is also another way to create a virtual space on the web. So in addition to like an actual space where people can come and meet and collaborate, there's also different ways of presenting information. There's SlideShare or other presentation tools. There's probably at least 30 different presentation tools out there. Zoho has a presentation tool in addition to, as I mentioned, SlideShare and Google Docs. You know, that lets you put your documents up for people to see them and tab through them. Like I said, Google has this nifty feature where you can chat with people. And gosh, I'm hoping they'll might add voice sometime soon. And you can also use blogs. Blogs are becoming a great way to present information to people. There's podcasts. That's what's up in the top right-hand corner. This is the keynote address given by Jeremy Frumkin at the LIDA Forum this year. In addition to like Jeremy giving the keynote at the forum, we meaning the Blogs and Wikis interest group, recorded it. And we put it up for people to see and download. And it's been a resounding success. We've actually been doing a lot of this in LIDA because not everybody can make it to a face-to-face meeting every year. The other thing is screencasts. The thing in the bottom right-hand corner is a slide from Meredith Farkas's Top Technology Trends from this year's ALA Annual. Meredith is a very busy and intelligent person. And I think she had three possible commitments all at the same time, and she had to choose one of them, and it wasn't Top Tech Trends at ALA Annual. But she still wanted to participate, so she created this really cool screencast where she talked about all of her trends, and it was posted to the LIDA blog, and people looked at it, and they actually asked questions about some of her trends at both on the blog and face-to-face at the session, even though she wasn't there, which was really interesting. There's different ways of communicating. You've got traditional chat, where I would probably be having a one-on-one conversation, is how I think of traditional chat. There's things like Meebo rooms. A Meebo room is a space, a chatting space that's open to whoever wants to come in and have a conversation. There's internet relay chat, which is like Meebo rooms, but a lot older. John and I were talking about this the other day, that IRC has been around for a long, long time, but a lot of people don't know what it is, and they're all excited about Meebo rooms, because it's a place where people can come and chat. It's like, it's an IRC channel. They just aren't calling it that. There's video conferencing. Right now, I participate in a working group for the Texas Digital Libraries, and we have video conferencing meetings once every 2 weeks. So I go in iChat, and I click on the video button, and I next to the person's name who I want to talk to, and it brings up on my screen her face and the two other people I'm talking to. So I can see everybody, and they can see me. It's really cool. And, you know, just a much livelier medium than chat if you have access to it. So in addition to the technologies changing, as a result, you're also having the venues for professional development change. I talked a little bit about blogs before, but blogs and RSS are a new way in which professional development is happening that didn't exist until the last 5 years. You can read information from a wide variety of sources. You can customize the information what you're seeing here in my feed reader and the different things I have in it. And it's great because I can read a bunch of blogs and come back to different things and basically consume from a wide variety of sources very easily. Online conferences are another new venue, like having a whole conference online, wow. In 2006, Higher Education BlogCon took place, and one of the tracks for it was a library and information literacy track. And it went on for a week, and there were 6 or 8 presentations, and people could come in, and it was all offered for free. This kind of thing, this kind of idea of online conferences is really powerful and a new way for people to do professional development because of Web 2.0. And online classes and presentations. 5 weeks to a Social Library was a project that Meredith Farkas headed up that also involved myself, Michelle Boulay, Amanda Etches-Johnson, and Elisa Krowski to provide training about social software tools for librarians who were disadvantaged. They didn't have professional development money. They couldn't afford to go to a conference to learn about these things. So we chose 50 people, and we ran a class for 8 weeks. 8 weeks. And it was like, when it was happening, it's like the weeks are just sort of racing by. For 8 weeks, I think. And the participants were able to come in, and each week we'd teach them out. There would be stuff about a new technology that they would learn about. And then we'd get together in small groups and chat, and they could ask questions. And they had little projects they could do. And all of this took place virtually. There was no face-to-face. And it's been a huge success. But one of the things that's also made it a success is even though we only had 50 participants who we went through the class with, we had lots of other people who were basically going along with us. Basically, if you weren't a participant, you couldn't participate in the group discussion chats, and you couldn't post your assignments to the website. But everybody else could follow along, and they would comment on the blog, or they would put interesting things up, and it was just fabulous because we really only planned to educate 50 people, but I think we've educated way more than that, and people keep using these materials. Hand in hand with that, our face-to-face-ish, our synchronous, meaning real-time stuff was done using Opal, and so we had some great presenters who came in and talked about social software, blogs, wikis, Delicious, Second Life, and our participants got to see them and ask them questions, and it was just a great experience that really, to me, is indicative of how professional development is changing. But probably the coolest thing to me in terms of professional development today is the idea of virtual communities and social networks. The image on the right-hand side is of the Library 2.0 interest group in Facebook. And it's so interesting because I think there's also there's a Library 2.0 group in Ning as well. And these little virtual communities communicate with one another. They ask questions. People post their stuff. When I was working on my book, about blogging, I would go and into the Blogging Library's Facebook group and see who was in there and what they were doing. It was a great way to find people. It was a great way to find out who was doing what and ask questions. Another social network that I belong to is an IRC channel, Internet Relay Chat channel, called Code for Lib. And it's primarily really geeky coder librarians or people who aren't librarians who are working in libraries who are code coders and geeky. And you can go in there, and they're talking about inane stuff, typically, that is way over my head even. But you can go in there and ask a question. So one day I went in there and I said, does anybody know if there's a chat module for Drupal? Because we were getting ready to do 5 weeks, and as everybody know, most people know, chat is often blocked at many places. And so we were trying to find a way to do chat and get around the fact that most of our participants were either public libraries or school libraries, and chat was going to be blocked. So how are we going to do this? So I said, is there a chat module for Drupal? And within 5 seconds, five people were like, yes, there is, and here's where it is, and you have to tweak it this way, and blah, 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 blah. Perfect example of community, virtual community, and social networks in action. There's also the whole idea of communities of practice, and the Library Success and Library Instruction Wikis are great examples of this, as are some of these other social networks, that people come together and they talk about what interests them and what they're doing, and they help each other. And that is something that is really powerful and really important to libraries being successful with Library 2.0 in my opinion. So in addition to both all of those things, the very nature of the physical conference is changing. This shot is from the Access Conference, which it takes place in Canada. It's kind of their big library technology conference. And you can see, this doesn't look like your typical conference. It's not a shot of people all sitting in rows. This is actually the Hackfest, which I'll explain a little bit more about what that is. So what's happening now is conferences are becoming much more participative. You're getting conference blogging. This is something that Lita started 2.5, 3 years ago. You get people who blog conferences, who talk about what's going on at the sessions. You get photo blogging of conferences. Just do a search in Flickr for IL 2007. You will find all these photos, both from the conference and from the surrounding area. You're seeing more and more breakout sessions. What I mean by that is small groups of people talking about something semi-spontaneously. Or discussion sessions, very, very similar. Breakout sessions can also be something like I was talking about, a Hackfest. What a Hackfest is you have a problem or a project, a technological problem or project, and a bunch of people want to work on it. And they get together and they build a solution right then and there at the conference, or they start to build a solution. This takes place at Access every year, and it's probably one of the coolest things I have ever participated in, because you get to work with people one-on-one. Lightning talks are also something that's really interesting. Lightning talks are basically you have 5 minutes to talk about something, no more than 5 minutes. And it gets, and people aren't pre-scheduled. How we would have done it if we did one here would be we put up a whiteboard, a flip chart, and people would put up their names and what they wanted to talk about. And then everybody would line up one after the other, they'd do their little personal talks. It's a really, really important way to get people to participate in the conference and share what they're doing and share their knowledge. The other thing you're getting at conferences now that's really interesting is that they've become more conversational. And Goblin of the Library like made my week because he had this quote. What do I need to physically attend conferences for? I need face-to-face interaction and conversation. I need spontaneous gatherings. I need occurrences of random fandom escapades and shenanigans. The stuff on the left, the right-hand side of the screen is from the Big Wig Social Software Showcase from ALA this year. Basically what the showcase was we asked all the presenters to do a little screencast or something about a piece of technology that they thought were really cool and interesting that they wanted people to know about. And we had them put them up on our wiki. And then people came together at the conference not to see me or any of the presenters talk like I'm talking to you, but to sit down with them and ask questions and have conversations in small groups. And that's what's going on in the lower right-hand corner. The really, really powerful thing about this was that we had conversations both going on in the physical space and some in the virtual space. Not necessarily during the same time, but in the time leading up to. Because we had a Meebo room that was open and people would come in and talk a little bit about the showcase. Which brings me to the next point, which is that conferences are becoming time shifted. And what I mean by that is that a conference doesn't just take place over a day or 3 days anymore. It can be stretched out over the course of a year. There are still lots of people hitting the showcase site, looking at things, sending emails. Somebody told me the other day, one of the presenters, that they'd gotten a question about one of their presentations already. But to facilitate this, you would do things like video casting. The top right-hand corner is Karen Schneider giving her keynote address at Code for Live this year. And the video is available to download, or you could download the audio. And what that allowed to do was the content to reach a much wider audience and it to have an impact over a much greater period of time. So podcasts and videos can do this. So can posted presentations, and so can conference blogging. We found with the Lita blog that the conference blogging really sparks people's interest in discussion and in being at potential a future conference. Because seeing what people are saying about the conference and the sessions is actually in some ways more powerful than reading an abstract about what's going to be presented. And they can participate even though they weren't actually there. They can ask questions, they can comment. Which brings me to my last way in which conferences are changing, which is, in addition to being time shifted, they're place shifted. Chat and all of its associated technologies, from Meebo Rooms to IRC, are place shifting conferences. It's not uncommon at the Code for Live conference for the presentations to be going on like this is right now, and for there to be a sea of people with laptops open on the wireless network in the Code for Live channel. And this is an IRC channel you're seeing here, not the Code for Live one. Talking about what's going on at the conference, not only among themselves with the people who are physically at the conference, but with people who aren't at the conference, who are making comments. It's really interesting and fascinating to watch. And sometimes you horrifying to watch what people will say. But it extends the conversation beyond the physical space. Microblogging does this too. At Internet Librarian this year, there was an Internet Librarian Twitter feed for people to subscribe to, join. And you could see the conversation about what was going on at the conference. And people would chirp in who weren't there and say, oh, I saw so-and-so last year. They gave the exact same talk. Sounds like they're just doing a repeat. or they'd say, oh, that sounds really cool. I've never seen Joe James speak. He sounds like he's really, really good. I wish I was there. And this would happen with people who were physically in Monterey, too, because I overslept the morning of Joe James' keynote, and I stumbled into the coffee shop, got on the wireless network, and I can see all this conversation going on about his talk, and I'm like, oh man, I should be going there and sneaking in the back to hear this, because I can see that was worthwhile. And it's just, it gives people a better sense of whether or not what's going on is really for them or not. And that, I think that that's really, really powerful, and it's changing, like I said, the way in which we're doing professional development. because there's so much available to us and there's too much for us to take in, that we need to be a little bit more selective. And some of these things, I think, enable us to do that. So what can we expect in the future when it comes to professional development? First of all, continuous professional development every single day. If you haven't gotten that into your head yet, let me repeat it again. Professional development has to take place on a daily basis because technology and librarianship are changing too fast for us to keep up otherwise. We have to be continuously involved. We can't just go off to a conference and come back home and, you know, 6 months later or maybe a year later go off to a conference and come back home. We need to be doing professional development in a continuous fashion. And we need to do it with our staff in a continuous fashion as well. We need to set that expectation. Otherwise, people will not do it. And we need to reward them for doing it. So you need to set the expectation that they're going to continuously do professional development, and you need to reward them for putting forth that effort, because it is a big effort. We need to create sustainable professional social networks. The challenges that libraries are facing today are too big for even the biggest library to surmount by themselves. Look at the Extensible Catalog Project, which has, I can think of 4 or 5 academic libraries and at least 2 public libraries involved with currently. It's a big project, and that is for a reason, because these problems are big problems. And we need to stop reinventing the wheel over and over and over again. And the way to do that is to have good, sustainable professional networks where we can say, has anybody installed MediaWiki before? What are the pitfalls? How might they do that? Or what are some ways in which academic libraries are using Twitter? We need to be able to reach out to the networks and ask questions. And in the same sense, if you know something and somebody's asking in your social network, you need to answer back. Don't be a jerk. There's nothing more frustrating than knowing that somebody out there knows the answer and just is not taking the time to speak up. Because, basically, if you don't answer when somebody asks, what do you think somebody's going to do when you ask? We have to help one another. We have to help one another. What we are facing today is too large to do by ourselves, and we shouldn't be expected to, and we shouldn't allow our organizations to act in that manner of, oh, well, you're working on this, but we're working on it too, but we want to make sure ours is first. Okay, stop. We need to be able to participate in professional development without being in a particular physical location. I've been on a plane every week for the last 7 weeks. If I could have given this talk without physically coming here, I would have been like, yay! Not because I don't love being in front of people, but because I've been on a plane every week for 7 weeks. And it's also costing these guys some money for me to be here. So, you know, we need to eliminate the physical location problem for ourselves and for our organizations. It costs our organizations a lot of money. And it also disenfranchises particular librarians and particular libraries. So we need to get beyond that. And conferences need to become conversations. Like, I like to talk, but I wish sometimes for me, what's more valuable at a conference is to sit down with people and talk to them. I've loved the part of this conference that has just been sort of chatting with people informally and, you know, learning what they're doing. The last thing is that professional development opportunities will be much less limited by where you work. I used to work at SUNY Cortland. The only conferences I got to go to were in the state of New York, unless I shelled out my own money. There just were no funds. Then I moved to work for the University of Houston, and I'm traveling all over now, because the University of Houston has more funds that it can expend. I think we're going to reach a point where that matters a lot less, because people will be able to participate virtually. whether the whole conference is virtual or whether it's a physical conference with virtual participation built in. That is the end of my talk.